Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, white wokeism making Hispanics go to the right. Tacos. We talk about that. And also, J.D. Vance, our endorsed candidate in Ohio, who we endorsed alongside Blake Masters in Arizona. We're going to have more with Blake soon. But if you live in Arizona, I'm telling you, Blake is the man. We are behind Blake. We like him a lot. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com, and support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. Get involved with our educational movement, tpusa.com, all education. Come to our Student Action Summit. Laura Ingram, Greg Gutfeld, Josh Hawley, Ted Cruz, tpusa.com/SAS. And Turning Point Action, our political arm, will be hosting Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. The woke ideas are infecting our entire society. We know that. Who created the woke? Well, the woke, they're largely white liberals, mostly, mainly. Postmodernist ideas put forward by Jacques Derrida and many others were put forward by people that have a hyper-academic view of the world. The people that are closer to faith and traditional family and culture, they believe in nature. And there's an unintended consequence that is bubbling up here that is something that is significant and it's profound. And we've talked about it here on this program a couple times. First of all, in order to be a liberal, you must be arrogant, self-righteous, and a demagogue. It's a necessary, let's just say, character, a series of character traits. Let's put it that way. I can't stand smugness. It's one of my least favorite characteristics. It's okay if you're wrong, but don't take yourself so seriously. Be open to disagreements. Have some nuance. Go where facts lead you. Please don't be ideological in the sense that you do that. And I think part of what is really exciting about the new right, people like Blake Masters, for example, who we just endorsed, we're going to have him on our program soon, and J.D. Vance, by the way, who's coming up in just a couple of minutes on this program, is an ability to have a belief in certain things that do not change. That's not ideological. That's philosophical. Love of wisdom. Understanding that wisdom, the laws of nature and nature's God, as Jefferson beautifully put it, is what anchors our existence, and having prudence or practical judgment to make choice or decision necessary to be able to navigate an ever-changing world. You see, people on the left, they have no humor, no humility, and they're not happy people at all whatsoever. A great piece of advice I received, and I have to do my best to honor it, is don't take yourself so seriously, okay? If someone makes fun of you and you do a good job, sure. For example, someone at some event came up to me and they said, Charlie, you know, something like making fun of, like, you know, something we were doing. And I said, well, at least I take Relief Factor. And it just diffused the whole thing. As soon as you're a little bit, let's just say, self-deprecating, I think it's one of the great tools that at least keep you a little bit anchored. And humility is a really interesting thing. I'm not claiming to be humble, because as soon as you claim to be humble, you're not humble. It's one of the great ironies. Look at how humble I am. Just be open. Be firm in what you believe in, but the smugness that just completely infects the American left is remarkable. And so I'm saying all this for a reason, because it's now manifesting itself politically. The kind of colonial almost imperialistic view that comes forward with white liberal wokeism is now manifesting itself in many different communities. And you are now seeing a 25 to 30 point swing in the Hispanic community largely because of this. Now, this is going to sound very controversial, but here we go. With the same, as soon as I say that, everyone's heads pop up in this studio. It's so great. Oh, what's he going to say now? Hispanics view woke ideology with similar apprehension as colonialists coming with blankets in the 1500s. Now, if you don't know what I mean by that, there's this whole idea of diseased blankets coming from Europe that were distributed to Native American and indigenous populations and completely wiping them out. That is ingrained in a lot of Native American and Hispanic and South American and Central American folklore and tales, of which there's a lot of truth to it. Whether it was malicious or not, we don't know. I think it was smallpox. But this idea of a foreign pathogen coming into your family, a foreign pathogen coming into your village and wiping it out, is something that Central and South American families live through, and they're very apprehensive. Be careful of the ideas the white man brings you. And it's now remanifested itself, not in blankets, but now in the idea that men can become pregnant. So we played that tape previously, Professor Bridges and Josh Hawley, and you have to understand, someone that comes from the third world, from Nicaragua, El Salvador, all they have is their children. Their net worth, their bank account is their kids. And by the way, they're some of the richest people on the planet because of that. They're not rich in material terms, but they're rich in things that actually matter. Rich in their relationship with the Lord, with their wife, with their children, in bonds that will live longer than themselves. A lot richer than some sort of 48 or 42-year-old woman that works for Goldman Sachs that isn't married, and she wants to tell other people how to live. Hispanics believe in God and family and work, and there is a seismic change happening in front of us in the Hispanic community, and we ought to do everything we possibly can to encourage it, but not give an inch on immigration. This is very important. This is not because the harder we've gotten on immigration, the more socially conservative we become, the more Hispanics want to come towards us. It's not about amnesty. It's not about gun control. No, and Myra Flores, she's been great. I always cushion it because you never know. Someone could always let you down. So first, let's play the tape that kind of has went around the Hispanic world. Jill Biden is the perfect example. She has a doctorate in education. She is the woke colonialist. I come bringing blankets, Jill Biden says. And what does she do? She essentially calls Hispanics tacos. Play cut 52.
But we can't get those things on our own. Raul helped build this organization with the understanding that the diversity of this community, as distinct as the Bogotas of the Bronx, as beautiful as the blossoms of Miami, and as unique as the breakfast tacos here in San Antonio.
What brown, educated, white, liberal, non-binary speechwriter put that into her speech? Brown University, let's be very clear. I meant Brown University. Okay, obviously. Let's be very clear. What Dartmouth educated? Do I have to cushion that one? What Cornell educated? What Columbia educated? What Princeton educated? Okay, we made the point. Apparatchik, as they were flying on the plane to San Antonio and said, here's a great idea. Here's how you're going to win over the Hispanics, Jill. I know our polls are collapsing and they're winning the Rio Grande Valley. Call them tacos. Say that the Hispanic community is as unique as San Antonio tacos, breakfast tacos. This is so similar to Hillary Clinton with the black community, where they asked her, they said, so what do you carry in the bag, in your bag? Oh, I carry hot sauce. And they said, oh, come on, no, you're just playing. She said, no, I do. They said, come on, you're just pandering to black people. And she said, well, is it working? White women liberals will be the reason why Republicans win black and Hispanic voters long term. Don't pretend to be somebody you're not. It's kind of just be authentic, be real. And Myra Flores' response to this, we'll get that in the next tape. But this white wokeism, they are so convinced of it. They are so certain of it. They think that a person that has just come to America from El Salvador wants to hear about, if you don't believe men can become pregnant, you're transphobic and you're committing acts of violence, then be called tacos. Look, gathering around the table, it's been a catalyst for change since the beginning of time. Meals matter. Let me say that again. Meals matter. And who you're eating with really matters, and what you're eating also matters. Look, it starts with a table and time together. And Good Ranchers, a beautiful company, their mission is to bring people to the table. And we want people to know that. They want to make those moments around the table easy and accessible, and delicious is what they do. It's what they deliver in every box. Good Ranchers is giving you $30 off your order plus free shipping. Shipping is a huge cost that they are covering for every customer, so that value can be emphasized with $30 off their order. So look, we've had some huge wins for truth in the American family. It feels like the pendulum might be swinging back in the right direction. Good Ranchers delivers a 100% American meat experience to your door. They guarantee you the meat that is born, raised, and harvested here in the United States, so you know where it comes from and who you are supporting. You're already buying meat, so why not buy it in a way that strengthens the American farm? Your country and your taste buds will thank you. Not only is it a great cause, it's a truly great product. I've personally tried it and love it. The T-bones, burgers, ribeyes, and even the chicken, it's all some of the best I've had. And I mean it. They age every cut to perfection so that you can enjoy a true steakhouse experience every single time. It's not like one delivery is great and the next one isn't. Every box is superior quality, flavor, and value. I love the folks at Good Ranchers. In fact, when they send us Good Ranchers here at our office, it is Bedlam who gets to take Good Ranchers home. And it tastes so good. They support us, what we do. So go check them out. Support those who support us. Make sure to use promo code Charlie. That's promo code Charlie to get $30 off your order. Plus, get free express shipping. You can make gatherings at the table common again with Good Ranchers. Take advantage of this offer before it's gone. I love Good Ranchers. You guys should too. They're great supporters of this show. So feed your family, support Americans, and honestly, enough of this synthetic fake meat. Get real meat. Boost the testosterone levels of your children. Go to GoodRanchers.com. That's GoodRanchers.com, promo code Charlie. GoodRanchers.com, promo code Charlie. We had an article written about us yesterday in NBC by Brandy Zadrozny. It was actually a fine article. I mean, they got to hit you and whatever. Shows how big Turning Point USA has grown, and we're really proud of that. Very thankful for that. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings. But they kept on repeating in the news article and in the news hit, it kind of ties into this whole thing with Myra Flores, all about hot sauce. They said, Charlie Kirk hawks hot sauce, if I'm something negative about that. But yes, we do have Kirk's hot sauce, by the way. You guys can go to kirkshotsauce.com. This is one of the funniest stories ever is about this hot sauce. I made it for one person, myself. I literally went through 5 years of trying to make the perfect hot sauce. I'm kind of a hot sauce aficionado. Unlike Hillary Clinton, I'm not doing it to pander to anybody. And by the way, I don't even talk about it that much. People like discover it when they're walking through the halls. I'm like, oh yeah, do you want some? And they're usually blown away. Hillary Clinton, cut 87.
No more questions? They said no, she has to go.
What's something that you always carry with you?
Hot sauce.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Are you getting information right now?
Hot sauce.
Hot sauce in my bag, swag?
Hot sauce.
Really?
Yes.
Now, listen,
yes.
I just want you to know, people are going to see this and say, okay, she's pandering to black people.
Okay. Is it working?
Her immediate reaction, you could just tell, what does my training tell me to do? Is it working? It's like, what? It's like artificial intelligence kicks in. Ooh, what do I say next? Ha, 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 ha. Is it working? as I talk jive to you. So Jill Biden calls Hispanic voters tacos, and Maya Flores is not having it. She says, no, you're not going to condescendingly come in as a white woke liberal and tell us how to live our life. Pretty fire here. I got to say, Maya Flores is passing all the early tests. Play cut 86.
Do you accept her apology from this past week?
Yeah, right. They don't see us as Americans. They see us as tacos. That's exactly how they see us. And we're proud Americans, and they only are doing this to get our vote. And they think that by giving us tacos and playing Latin music, that that's all it's going to take for us to vote for them in November. It's going to take a lot more than that. We want gas, rent, and groceries to come down. We want more money in our pockets, and they're only making our lives more miserable.
Can she say something that you would accept in terms of an apology?
We take her apology, but we know that the reason why she's apologizing is because of all the backlash that she's receiving. She really doesn't mean it.
It's pretty fire. She doesn't mean it. That's exactly right. Look, the Democrat Party, they've always looked at blacks and Hispanics as their property. These are our voters. We're not going to do anything for them. We're not going to improve their lives. No, but we need them for political purposes. And Maya Flores, she's part of this new right coalition. Let me tell you, you know what the old Republican, the Paul Ryan, the old Republican Party would have done, the John Boehner? They would have said, well, I accept Jill Biden's apology and thank you, Jill, and I hope to get taco bowls with you sometime soon. Ha, 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 ha. And Maya Flores was like, no, actually, you think I'm subhuman. Ooh, that's new. She gets it. Why? Because Maya Flores lives on the border and her community's being invaded by the arrogance of white liberal open border Davos-centered world economic forum policies. That's why. Maya Flores had the courage to run for office. Her husband's a Border Patrol agent. God bless our Border Patrol. She won a shock victory in a district that is traditionally a Democrat plus 25 district, and she won that race. One, this story, we're going to keep following this story. I'm telling you, if the Hispanic community gets close to 50-50, we win everything. If the Hispanic community goes 55% in the Republican direction, we win more than everything. And the smart liberals, if you read the New York Times commentary and you listen to their podcast and you go a step deeper, they're freaking out. There is this article recently where they said a Republican's dream and all of this. I mean, look at Cut 88. Hillary Clinton saying all black people look the same. Finally, people are waking up to the arrogance and the smugness of these white liberals. Play Cut 88.
Or whatever. You know, that's childish.
What do you think of Cory Booker's, and you didn't comment on him, and you feel free?
Oh, I adore him.
What do you think about him saying, kick them in the shins, essentially, start to get to that kind of political...
Well, that was Eric Holder.
Yeah, Eric Holder,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know they all look alike.
No, they don't. Oh, well done. You know, Hillary... Yeah,
Enjoy losing the Rio Grande Valley. The black community is next. Look, as you know, our friend Mike Lindell has amazing passion, and especially has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of their life. He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Now Mike has done it again by introducing My Slippers. For a limited time, you'll save $90 on a pair of My Slippers. This blowout sale of the year won't last, so order now. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop this. The My Slippers are designed to wear indoors, out all day long. Made with My Pillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. Made with quality leather suede. Call 800-875-0425 or click on promo code Kirk or MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square and use promo code Kirk. This offer will not last long, so order now with promo code Kirk at MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk at MyPillow.com. There is a new roster and generation of candidates that is rising up. It's super exciting. We were early and endorsed the great J.D. Vance in Ohio. And he won his primary and looks like he's on his way to win in November. Still some work to do there. We just endorsed Blake Masters in Arizona, who's doing very, very well. Big Trump rally this weekend in Arizona. And voting will be wrapped up in just a couple of weeks. with Blake Masters. And Blake and JD are part of what we are calling the new right. With us right now is JD Vance, who is the Republican nominee. It feels good to say that in the great state of Ohio. JD, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Charlie. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you. So first, how's your race going? You're running up against a total phony, Tim Ryan. I think that's his name. How's the race going?
Yeah, you're right. Total phony. Voted with Biden 100% of the time. Voted with Pelosi 98% of the time. And yet, if you watch his TV commercials, Charlie, he's just a sensible conservative Democrat cut from the old cloth. You know, he didn't support defund the police, even though he called them all racist in the new Jim Crow. He didn't support Biden's inflation policies, even though he voted to shut down the Ohio energy economy. It's just, man, it is a preposterous thing where you watch a guy who has voted one way for 20 years try to say that he's something totally different in TV commercials. And that's the challenge. The race is going well. I mean, Ohio is a great state. We've got smart people. The environment is bad because Joe Biden has been a disaster and Tim Ryan has helped him. But he does have a lot more money than we do, which is one of the big challenges that Republicans have all across the country, is all the out-of-state Democrat money is allowing these guys to brand themselves. But I don't think the people of Ohio are going to buy it, and I think I'm going to win, and we're going to be able to do some good things in the Senate.
Yeah, just as a side note, where does that money come from exactly? I think a lot of people ask me that. Their policies are so unpopular, and Tim Ryan is hardly connected, you know, should hardly be connected to Silicon Valley and Wall Street. What is the source of a lot of that money?
You know, it's all from Act Blue, this online digital fundraising platform for Democrats. And it's, you know, it's like young tech people, executives, millennials who are sort of putting in money, sprinkling it all across these races nationwide, which is why it's all mostly out of state. But there's people who live in California, they live in New York, but they're supporting Democrats all across the country.
That Act Blue thing is such an interesting and important point. So talk about inflation. It's crushing people in Ohio. What is driving it? And what do the voters in Ohio connect their misery to? Because they're obviously blaming somebody. Who do they blame for these rising prices?
Well, I think they're blaming Joe Biden because Biden came out and said 2 years ago, and he certainly said consistently ever since, that he wants the American people to pay more for energy. That he wants them to pay more for the things that they need so that we will transition to a green economy. And like, you know, I'm like one of these people who cannot get over every time I drive, you know, we're traveling around the state. And every time I drive past some beautiful piece of Ohio farmland and I see these windmills and I'm like, why are we doing this? They don't produce that much energy. They don't produce reliable energy. We have great energy reserves in the state of Ohio. Joe Biden has actively prevented us from exploiting the stuff, from developing it. And that makes everything become more expensive, Charlie, because yes, it means you pay more for gas when you go to the gas station. It also means that Ohio farmers are paying three times as much for fertilizer. And if they're paying more for fertilizer, then all of us are paying more for food. And down the line, the Biden administration's effort to transition our economy into a green economy has basically meant that a lot of people are poorer and our situation is much less stable and much less secure. And Charlie, I see something a little bit crazy going on here. I think what the Democrats are doing is they recognize that the industries that real Americans depend on, agriculture, manufacturing, trucking, you know, the things that require energy, that's where all the good jobs in the state of Ohio are coming from. They are in bed with the tech industry and the finance industry, very low energy requirement industries. And so they basically, the green economy is not about the environment. It's about rewarding their corporate allies at the expense of businesses and workers in the state of Ohio.
Yeah, that's really well said. And part of this is an ideological pursuit by the Biden regime. And Ohio has always been one of my favorite places in the country because it's strikingly non-ideological. And this is probably why your race needs to be taken seriously, right? I mean, you have a race that votes for Trump by 10 points and also elects Sherrod Brown. I mean, that's the opposite of ideological, right? And in some ways, that's actually really promising because I think ideology will be the death of us in a lot of different ways, especially when it's against what you're seeing empirically in front of your eyes. And so I suppose part of the challenge in your race is you actually have a hyper-ideological opponent that camouflages and pretends to be this kind of just moderate guy. Something that really struck me, and it's just kind of a nuanced thing, is yesterday or the day before, it was trending on Twitter, he says that he couldn't go and vote in Washington, D.C. because of the public health emergency. and he's going to go take selfies at some diner with some people. I mean, thoughts on that? It just kind of plays into this theme, you know, dishonest, two-faced. Your thoughts?
Yeah, and he's you know, the thing I'd add to that is lazy, Charlie. I mean, it's a weird little thing that bothers. I don't know how much this is politically effective, Charlie. I'm being honest with you. I don't know. But it really bothers me that he's been in Congress for 20 years and he's gotten four bills passed. And three of those four bills, Charlie, were renaming local post offices. Like, what are you doing there for 20 years, right? When he left to join the U.S. Congress, well, it's 2003. You know, Charlie, I left Ohio the same year to enlist in the United States Marine Corps. So this guy, since I left my grandma's home to enlist in the Marines, he's been in Congress. He's gotten a bunch of post offices renamed, and that's all the people of Ohio have to show for Tim Ryan's public service. I just don't understand these people. And again, I think the weapon that we have against him is the truth. If the people of Ohio know that he votes with Biden and Pelosi and Schumer as often as he does, if they know that he supported destroying the police and the law enforcement community in Ohio, which has made it, of course, hard to walk down the street in Ohio without at least seeing somebody commit a crime, that means that you, if you tell the truth about it, that means people are going to vote for me. That's how I see it. It's pretty simple. Tim Ryan's got a bad record. We just got to tell the truth about it so that he's not able to portray himself as somebody that he's not.
So there's this kind of interesting controversy. I'm sure you saw Senator Hawley's back and forth with Professor Bridges on the what is a woman or what is a man thing. I can't imagine. I mean, this is part of what I would, you know, I know you're going to play offense on against Tim Ryan, which is he's kind of part of that entire Democrat Party that thinks you're being transphobic because you think men can't become pregnant. And it's just this interesting thing that's happening. And I'm, by the way, Democrats should continue doing it. I'm enthusiastically supporting. And just to think you go and bring a college professor from Berkeley and you choose that person as a witness, like as if that person's going to help make your case. I'm sure you saw that clip. Just your reaction, just the smugness, the arrogance, and also just her hostility. Like, who is actually questioning who?
Yeah, exactly. My reaction, why does everything have to be so insane? And why do these people have to pretend to believe things that they don't? Look, no one believes that uttering the basic truth that women become pregnant is transphobic or even more that it's violent. That was the part that really got me. It's not just that she disagreed with what Hawley was asking her. It's that it was violence to ask the question. I think most people, like, you know, I'm a social conservative. I think most people, even those who are not social conservative, they look at that line of questioning and they look at her response and they say, who allowed this crazy person to run the United States of America? Like, how did we get here to where the inmates in the insane asylum are actually running the show? And the answer is, of course, part of it is bad policy. Like, we as a society have elected to give this person an incredible role, an incredible amount of influence over our children, to earn a very good salary for uttering complete nonsense, total insanity. And we have to stop that. You're right. We do have to go on offense. We have to be willing to say that, you know, the education system exists to educate and provide virtue and teach virtue to our children.
Well, should,
it doesn't exist to make them crazy people who believe obviously absurd things. And if it's not doing the training and the virtue creation, maybe it shouldn't get as much of our tax dollars.
Yeah. I mean, and how about they're like, oh, we need to forgive student loans. Why don't you go raid the endowments and have them go pay for the student loan forgiveness and not have the U.S. taxpayers have to pay for that? And so in closing here, JD, there's so many issues that I know are on the minds of, you know, Ohio voters here. What else are you hearing from on the front lines and the disconnect between what Washington, D.C. focuses on? Washington, D.C. is all about January 6th. It's all about Ukraine. I know inflation and rising prices are on the front line, on the front of people's minds, but what else?
You know, Charlie, one thing I've picked up on in the last few weeks, and I say this as a guy who's always been a fan of law enforcement and would like to have thought that I knew a lot about what's going on among our police. Like, we are on the cusp of a generational crisis of law and order in this country. And I'm not talking about, you know, the rise in crime that we've seen in the last few years. I'm talking about police officers who are exhausted, who feel underappreciated, who are working at whether it's a sheriff's department or a big city police department that are 20-30% understaffed, we are going to be in a world of crap if we ignore our police and make sure that they have the resources that they need. This is bad, Charlie. I really think that in 5 years, the story is nobody's going to be a police officer and our streets are going to be ridiculously unsafe unless we fix this problem.
Yeah, that's well said. J.D. Vance is the nominee for the Republican Party in a very tight race in Ohio. Go to JDVance.com to help J.D. out. The other side has a fundraising juggernaut funded by people that do not live in Ohio, that live in Malibu and Manhattan and Silicon Valley and Cupertino, that want to impose their values in Ohio through a camouflage candidate with Tim Ryan. So thank you so much, J.D. Vance. We are behind you. Go to JDVance.com. And J.D., again, is part of this new right. Got Blake Masters, J.D. It's super exciting. So check it out. J.D., thanks so much.
Thanks, Charlotte. See ya.
You bet. And there's so many stories I want to get to here. I want to go to this one here. This is just a shocking clip. John Bolton has a admission that he helped plan foreign coups. How many countries have we done this in? And the more operative question is, are they now using that playbook here domestically? Play cut 48.
It's not an attack on our democracy. It's Donald Trump looking out for Donald Trump. It's a once-in-a-lifetime occurrence.
I don't know that I agree with you, to be fair, with all due respect. One doesn't have to be brilliant to attempt a coup.
I disagree with that. As somebody who has helped plan coup d'etat,
yeah,
not here, but, you know, other places, it takes a lot of work. And that's not what he did. It was just stumbling around from one idea to another.
It's just it's a shocking clip on multiple levels. First of all, he just said it so casually. Like, look, as someone who has kind of a lot of expertise in toppling governments and displacing Democrat intent of sovereign citizens, and Jake Tapper's like, oh, yeah, mm-hmm, of course, yeah, totally. And hilariously, John Bolton is actually defending reality when he's saying this because he's right in a weird, it's just like on so many different things. I'm not a fan of John Bolton, obviously. But I met him a couple times, we got along fine, I just totally disagree on stuff. But, and I thought what he did to Trump was so terrible. Yeah, he had that on the legal pad where he said like 25,000 troops to Venezuela or something, just walking around with the different hemispheres he wants to send Marines to. And so, but the more shocking part of this whole thing is not, I mean, it's shocking that he's just like, hey, look, as someone who's actually done the coup thing, let me tell you, this is amateur hour. Is that he's actually helping reality because it's true. And he just says it so casually and just so kind of like, look, yeah, that's right. That's him up on screen there. It says White House National Security Advisor raised questions about U.S. intentions in Venezuela after he appeared at a June 28th briefing with a notepad displaying the words 5,000 troops to Colombia. Colombia! Nothing like 5,000 Marines in Bogota in the summer. How does that threaten national security? American national security? I'm not quite sure. Meanwhile, Democrats are saying the largest threat to our national security, it's not China, it's not Vladimir Putin. No, it's climate change. Now, the brilliance of the climate change movement is that you never have to define it. It's an invisible enemy. Representative Jason Crow, who's a Democrat, is saying the weather is a greater threat than Xi Jinping. Play cut 47.
Bottom line is that the Democratic Party and the House Democratic Caucus is the party of national security in the 21st century. To addressing the largest national security threat facing our planet and our country, that is climate change, which is both a threat multiplier and a threat magnifier, and dedicated to doing this in the right way.
What's so amazing is that he's actually speaking on behalf of the entire Democrat caucus. I didn't know that. I thought it was just some thing that he was at some environmental march. No, he's at the official press conference and said, okay, I just want you all to know. And by the way, I think that's after they had their meeting about what they stand for and what they're running on. So they're going to tell you and the entire country, look, CCP, Iran, North Korea, no, the real threat is climate change. The doctrine and dogma of Greta Thunberg continues onward. We got a really good one here. Hi, Charlie. Love your show. Just a thought. Remember when Biden announced that they had put together the most extensive voter fraud in history? I wonder if he actually was reading from a note card and he only said it as a reminder to himself. Seemed too incredulous at the time and everyone dismissed it, thinking he misspoke. But now we know he was clueless. He is reading note cards and the teleprompter doesn't sound too far off. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.